until 11, you're listening to Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Now, Greg Barclay joins me on the line from the Australian Education Union. Good morning to you, Greg.
Good morning, Mitchell.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And the AEU says that the private training system in Victoria is broken.
Absolutely. The policy model that set up the vocational education and training sector in Victoria in 2008, I think it's fairly obvious to everyone now that it simply hasn't worked, and it continues to fail not only the Victorian community but students and the taxpayers.
And what are some of the biggest problems that you're seeing? I mean, for example, you cite one situation where job seekers get the offer of a free laptop when they start studying, but it does put them into debt.
Yes, so look, that's one of the obvious concerns, and I think most people will have been following reports like that through national and Victorian media over the last probably 18 months. The federal government, basically in July this year, said that it was going to make it illegal for students to be offered inducements to sign up to courses. And we know that that simply has not worked. As the article suggested in the paper and on the TV the other night, we still have agents driving around suburbs with bootloads of laptops, specifically targeting people to get them to sign up for diploma-level courses. And, of course, they inherit a debt for that for the rest of their life. And the taxpayer also subsidises that sort of roguish behaviour. Some of the other issues that we've got is that currently under the existing system, there is no way to force or guarantee that a student will get all of the instruction that they're enrolled in. So it's possible to turn a 12-month course into a month course, and there's no rules to stop that. So again, we have lots of providers out there in the private space who are basically signing people up for a four-week, five-week course and claiming a full 12 months worth of subsidy from the government. It was only last year that we saw 10,000 students have their qualifications withdrawn from them because it was found under an audit that they actually hadn't received the training that they'd enrolled in and paid for.
But it sounds to me like with those problems, first of all with the laptops and then with the government funding situation where people aren't necessarily receiving what the government thinks they're receiving, that the law is already in place to stop that, but maybe more checks and balances are needed.
Look, the only problem, yes, there definitely needs to be checks and balances, without a doubt. But I think the two examples we've just talked of then, we only discover them once it's happened. So the checks and balances are only there to catch people who've done the wrong thing in the first place. And the hassle is that we have students who've invested a lot of time and money who have their qualifications withdrawn because there are fairly unscrupulous, unethical people out there who see it as a cash cow to make money out of. And they really don't care about the debt that a student might inherit, nor do they care about the credibility of the vocational education and training system in Victoria. It was only about 6 years ago it was recognised that Victoria had one of the most outstanding vocational education and training systems in Australia, if not the world, and we had people coming from all over the world to look at what we were doing. They're now looking at Victoria to see what we shouldn't do.
And when you said that the Premier needs to act in response, what would you like to see happen?
Look, we would want to see that currently the government spends between $1.2 and $1.3 billion on vocational education and training. We would want to see 70% of that being dedicated to the public TAFE system, with only 30% left for the contestable market, so for only 30% left out there for the private providers to tender for. We believe that that will shift the balance back to where it used to be in terms of TAFE has always been seen as the benchmark in terms of quality education and training. Many of these routes simply didn't exist before 2008 when the market was opened up. So we think that the Andrews government definitely needs to come out and make a statement of not only support for the public TAFE system, but to actually shift 70% of that funding that's currently out there in the contestable market back to the TAFE system specifically here in Victoria.
Is this just a situation, though, where we see a few small private operators that really are the minority that are sort of giving everyone else a bad name, and private operators that are doing the right thing could see their funding cut?
Well, look, they would still be able to compete for that provision out there in the private market. So, excuse me, I guess what they would need to be doing is to expose those others in the private for-profit sector in terms of what they were doing. I think to put some caps on it would actually allow people to come back and compete on the quality of what they do rather than the volume of what they do.
Right. Well, that makes a little bit of sense, I suppose. And explain why the TAFE system is what you call the benchmark in the public education system.
Well, look, TAFE, if you look back through its history, TAFE or versions of TAFE have been around in Victoria for about 175 years. It's been the cornerstone of vocational education and training for, well, not necessarily all that time, but many, many decades. It's worked very closely with industry to look at what are the changes and shifts in terms of training priorities that have been needed. All of the teachers in the current TAFE system, they are required to have what's called a vocational qualification. So they actually must be qualified in the areas that they're teaching in, as well as having a teaching qualification. So there's some very minimal benchmarks that, that we believe separates the TAFE system from the private for profit. Over the last few years, we've seen examples where a student may graduate a course this week and then be employed to become the teacher of that course for the new students in a couple of weeks' time. Now, we would say that that's simply not enough experience that you would need to start to educate and train the next generation of workers in a particular vocational area.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting case study that you've brought up there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate those insights into what's going on with the private training system.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Thank you very much. Greg Barclay there from the AEU.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.